Good morning. Welcome to the EBU. I'm Walid Sami. I have participated in the organization of this, and I'm happy to see that you are all here and the room is full. We are happy to see that the answer to our invitation was quite positive, and this is very good. Thank you for being here. I will just say two words, and then we'll give the floor to Ruxandra and Levan to make an introduction. My understanding and my wish of the organization here is to put people together. I see people who have passion. I see people who have needs that should be satisfied. I see people who have questions about these needs. And hopefully all these are here or are represented to a certain extent, so the exchange can happen. And this could be another step, and neither a start nor an end, another step in this introduction of this wonderful technology, which should respond to some need. I believe. So I will give the floor to Ruxandra.
And I will give it to Levan.
Good. So Ruxandra kindly gives the floor to Levan, our technical director, the EBU, to make an introduction. Levan.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome at the EBU. I'd like to introduce introduction of Walid about passion, needs, and questions, because I think that's quite correct. We work in an environment where we have a lot of people with passion. That's the reason why we sometimes speak fast, so I will slow down now. Where we have a lot of questions, a lot of members and organizations with a lot of questions, and also needs and new defined needs. I think in that way, I'd say the title of the whole day, From Possibility to Reality, is well chosen, I think. I think you are with DRM and DRM Plus really at the tipping point where it can happen and it must happen at this moment. At least in my role as technical director, we support different standards, we just support different organizations, and DRM is one of them because we think it's at this moment the solution for, let's say, for long wave and transmissions, but also for things that maybe can happen in band 2 at this moment. But, of course, the real experts are, let's say, the people who are doing the real technical work, the standardization work, people like Walid, like Elena, like different people in this room. And I, let's say, I have, must be honest, I always see it more as a higher level. And I want to in fact, share with you, let's say, 3-4 points, which I just want to address and to take with you in this room as a kind of alert function. First of all, I think every technology is... It's very interesting. We are all in a certain way engineers, and we can define the most fantastic technology, but equipment is needed. So if you want to make DRM and DRM Plus a success, you have to need equipment. It's very simple, but you have to work on that. You have to talk with people. I know it's a no-brainer. It's something simple to say, but equipment is needed to make DRM and DRM Plus happening. And also, I think if you look to the situation we have today from an end-user perspective, it's all about radio, and we all know in this room that there are different radio standards, but for different frequency bands in Europe. But it has to be clear for the end user. It has to be understandable for the end user. And DRM, on the one hand, is a very fantastic technology, and DRM Plus is also a very, let's say, promising technology which can be used. But maybe we have to be a little bit more clear with this naming, because I think a normal end user don't understand the difference between DRM and DRM Plus. Maybe it has to be a little bit more clear for the end user what you want to achieve with the different technologies, and maybe work maybe on the naming or the marketing around that it's clear what you want to achieve with DRM and DRM Plus. Because I'm going to put the devil in the room. There is another technology which is now coming very heavily into the market in Europe called HD radio. And there people understand what it's about, and even sometimes they misunderstand. They think it's high-definition radio or something. It's not high-definition radio. But I think you have to maybe work a little bit on your marketing also regarding DRM and DRM Plus and what the impact of DRM Plus can be for the market. So, and in relation to that, HD radio, what is happening there, they promote themselves today as the technology, the only technology, which is possible to start services in band 2 without switching down analog. But I think DRM Plus can do the same thing. So I think there is a job for you to communicate that more clearly and to work on that. And also in relation to administrations and to the to the work which is happening over there, it must be clear that, let's say, a technology like HD Radio is made for an American raster system. And you cannot just something which is optimized for America implement in a European raster system. It has an impact on our market situation. It has an impact on the current broadcasting organizations in Europe. It will create interference issue. It will create an impact on our quality of service, which we have today. And of course, I think DRM Plus has a huge opportunity for local radios, and maybe not only in Band 2, but also in Band 1. So I see in a certain way for the manufacturers, but also for the broadcasting organizations, also for, let's say, the delivery organization, the distribution organization, a huge opportunity to take into account DRM and DRM Plus as possible technologies for the organization. So I think what you need to do today is, in fact, discuss what is mentioned here, how to make it from possibility to reality. And now I give the floor to Ruxandra. Thank you.
Okay. Just click. Yeah, sure. First of all, good morning, everyone. My name is Ruxandra Obreja. I work for the BBC, and I'm the chair of the DRM Consortium. And so I can spare you the questions. Yes, I was born in Romania, but I live in Britain. So that's all about me, because this day is about the DRM. And I hope this will be a very fruitful day in which we will find out more about the standard. You will have an opportunity to ask questions and also an opportunity to network and meet some of the top experts in the consortium who are going to make short presentations to you. We'll have time for questions and answers, quite a lengthy lunch break and other breaks in which I hope we can all talk and introduce and meet each other, but also see demonstrations of the DRM standard. And this is about DRM, and I will just say a few words before we delve into what it is and what it does and how it can meet needs and what its benefits are. Because we don't talk about technology just for the sake of technology. I know engineers love that, but unless it fulfills a need and it satisfies choice and listeners, the technology has absolutely no value whatsoever. So I will just say, you know, welcome to this, and thank you very much to the EBU, and thank you very much for you being here, because I think some of you must have come for another meeting, have decided to stay a day extra. Some of you have come specially. It's an effort, and we want to make it really worth your while. And I also promise you it won't be one of those days where you think you have a headache and you start looking at your desk and you are bored. I hope we will make it interesting and serious for you. I don't promise it will be a showy and fun day, but it will be great if it could be that as well. Now, about the DRM, I mean, I have to start by really linking to what Leven said, but also make a few points which I hope you will agree with me. And first, that the DRM is a state-of-the-art digital system. It's not a 20th century system. It's not a 1998 system. It's a perfect system for the 21st century. And if your question is straight away, well, why hasn't it taken off immediately? I'll ask all of you, how many of you has GPS? Do you have GPS? Who has GPS? Right. Do you know when it was started? How long have you had it? A year, 2 years, 3 years? It started in 1993. When did you?
In the military, not much earlier.
There you are. So I made my point. DRM is, of course, more than audio in excellent quality. Everyone talks about, you know, this extra sound, and we have 5.1 and surround sound, and we are beyond. It's important, of course it is important, but it is about data, services, and more choice for the listener. Maybe we as a consortium haven't concentrated enough to show that this is not just another radio system. DRM is more than efficient technology. It is efficient, and we'll talk about it. It is about content, too, and I hope at the end of the day I'll be able to come to content, because without content, the technology is just yet another technology. And this is why I'm very honored, and we are honored, to be here at the EBU, and we are also working very closely with ABU, and I hope I'll be able to work with many of you, because I think the issue of content and showing how digital content is really a step up above what analog can do, I don't think that the case has been really made. And it hasn't been made by other technologies, and may I say it hasn't been made by HD either. DRM needs to be part of a digital receiver. There are, I hear a lot of people saying, there are too many standards. It's confusion in the market. What is it? DAB, DAB plus, DRM, DRM plus. What is all that? Why can't people decide? The reality is different countries, different administrations will have different needs. The standards are there, and there might be combinations of various standards that satisfy the needs of a particular country administration. And for that, I think we are for a digital receiver that covers more than one technology. So that's our stated position. Now, Very, very briefly, because people talk about DRM 30, and let's get our terms clear, so we speak the same language today. There is one DRM standard, and the DRM standard has two components. One is, if you want, the short wave, medium wave, long wave, DRM 30, and the extension of the standard to 174 megahertz, we call DRM plus. We don't see these as two particular standards. We see it as one standard covering basically all the bands. Of course, this gives us enormous benefits against any other standard. We can cover huge areas, but we can also be the community local radio of choice without multiplexes, with simple solutions, and simulcasting as well. Levin is right. Simulcasting is available basically to older technologies. Maybe we haven't made a point yet. Now, the consortium, we don't want to bore you, but the consortium is really here to promote the standard. And it is a mixture of broadcasters, manufacturers, regulators, who are not in the consortium for any personal or commercial gain. They are in it for promoting the standard, for networking, for, of course, spotting opportunities. And the consortium is open, so if you ever thought you wanted to get closer to us, our gates, doors, and arms are open. Okay. We spoke about the benefits, and we'll talk more about it, and I don't want to steal the thunder from the next speakers. But if we have established that there is one single standard, DRM 30 and DRM plus. Some of the things that people are not quite aware is that this is a totally different thing from analog. You are going to automatic tuning. You are not going to 98.9 Jazz FM. You go to Jazz FM only. This is fantastic for the listener, if you think of it. We've spoken about good coverage, but single frequency networks, that's quite an advantage as well. IPR cost, everyone asks, how much does it cost? How can we implement DRM? Is it free? Well, it is not completely free, but from our analysis, it is definitely the cheaper option as compared with other closed systems, HD or DAB, DMB. Of course, we offer more choice to the listeners because one frequency can offer more services, and that is absolutely essential, especially in Europe where the spectrum is so crowded. Band 2, band 3, band 1, think of it. I mean, that is a great advantage. And we also have added features, and we always put this at the end, and maybe we are making now another mistake, putting it at the end, because the added features are something that might make the system fly. Right. How does it look? I mean, we love this slide, and you'll see it. I mean, I had to fight and get this slide in my presentation because everyone has it in their presentation, because basically it tells the story of DRM. It's where it is. It, at one glance, you can see DRM and the coverage of all the bands. And, of course, we've had to add DRM+. The extension to 174 has been just ETSIfied on the 30th of August. And, of course, if you are interested in the ETSI standard, we can tell you exactly how to get it and the URL and everything else. So it is open. It is there. You can access it. So generally people like to be very positive, and I will start with a lot of negative. So what I've told you what DRM is, and I'll tell you what it isn't. It is not 1980 technology. It is a modern technology. It is not proprietary. It is an open standard. It is global and open. It is not exclusive to one band. It's certainly good for band two, but we can look at the adjacent bands as well, band one for sure. It is not multiplex dependent. This is a fantastic advantage. It is not difficult to implement, said she. I'm a broadcaster, so technology, you give it to the engineers, they implement it. Not difficult, but can use existing infrastructure, which I think is very, very important. It is not more expensive than other technologies, possibly cheaper. I don't want to come here and say, this is the cheapest, it's very cheap. Of course, it depends so much on what power, what transmitter, what infrastructure, how old, and so on. So, you know, you need to do a proper business case. So it isn't any of these things. What is here, what it is here, ready to use and meet your needs, and we need your help to really go from possibility to reality. The possibility is all there. So I hope this is a very brief, non-technical introduction which has stimulated your interest in DRM. And I think it is time now to go into a more in-depth presentation of the system itself. And with that, I think I will invite my BBC colleague and chair of the technical committee of the DRM consortium, but also DMB consortium, to give us a more in-depth technical, if you want, view of how the system actually works. And with that, we are launched into the first session. What is a system? What is the business case? Lindsay, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Does it continue or is it a different presentation? I saw it all in one huge panel.
Thank you.
Where's yours? Just click here.
Okay, excuse me. Good morning, everybody. I'm Lindsay Cornell, and as introduced, I do work for the BBC and have done for quite some time. And I'm chair of DRM Technical Committee. I'm also chair of the World DMB Technical Committee, and that might give you some clue as to my perspective on digital radio. But the intention of this presentation is to bring you in touch with a lot of different terms. Every new technology, every different technology has a whole load of specific vocabulary. And my intention is to give you a kind of an overview of the technology so that the different terms that you will hear during the day, you have some idea where those fit in. So let's push on. So let's talk about the system architecture. So DRM, it's a fully digital system. It doesn't try to be half analog, half digital. It's digital, it's designed for the future, but it's also designed to fit in with the existing analog broadcasts. So it's designed to work in the transition. It's designed to provide high quality radio services, good quality audio, and multimedia. and it's designed to improve the listener experience over what they have currently. So more usability, more quality for the audio, particularly for those people used to AM broadcasts, and the opportunity to provide new multimedia features. So there's a nice block diagram. You see them, hundreds of them. They all look basically the same. Data comes in at one end and RF goes out the other end. That's enough said. So propagation. DRM is designed to work all the way from right down at long wave up to 174 megahertz. So the AM bands and the low VHF bands. And within that, the regulation that applies to those bands varies considerably. So we have narrow channels, we have wide channels. And the propagation, the way in which the signal travels through the air between the transmitter and the receiver, also varies greatly within those frequency ranges. So DRM needs to have techniques and has techniques which deal with these different conditions. So we have parameters that deal with the different signal bandwidths, and we have parameters that deal with transmission efficiency. So in terms of bandwidth, let's look at the system, and we do need to divide it, and we have this technical distinction, which Ruxandra has already mentioned. Below 30 megahertz, so in other words, in the traditional AM bands, we call the DRM system DRM30. And above, we call it DRM plus. And the reason is because of the different regulation, the different propagation. In terms of what does the DRM deliver, it's one system. The benefits are the same, whether it's whatever the frequency band. So, but for the purposes of the technical discussion, it is convenient to be able to have these two handles. And we use these two terms, DRM 30, DRM plus. So below 30 megahertz in the traditional AM bands, the channel bandwidths are 8 and 9 kilohertz, depending on which region of the world you're in. And we respect the ITU spectrum mask in these regions. Now, that's a much more challenging spectrum mask than is often the case in different countries. As AM has evolved over the years, different countries have different regulation. But the ITU mask respects the channelization, and we respect that. We've designed the system to use that. The reason being that it means the same receiver will work everywhere in the world. It gives a massive simplicity. The receiver manufacturers don't have to think, oh, we're selling this model in this part of the world, this one in another. So they're all the same. And it also allows the maximum density of services. Every channel can be used in a fully digital world because there's nothing crossing outside the definition of a channel. And we also allow half and double width channels in the system, and this allows the possibility to mix both AM and DRM in the same channel, although the quality, it has to be said, is not excellent. And it also allows higher quality. If you use the double channels, you can have higher quality audio, you can have multimedia. For DRM above 30 megahertz, the channel width is 100 kilohertz. It's always the same. There's only one band mode. And that's 100 kilohertz. It's been designed to fit with the channelization in the FM band. So let's have a little look at spectrum occupancy. So this is a half channel in 9 kilohertz and a full channel. A double channel, it uses the next adjacent. And then the same thing for 5, 10, and 20. And what you see in this diagram, you probably saw this little red block marked FAC, and that stays in the same place, whatever the occupancy of the channel in the AM modes. And then for the DRM Plus, we have a single channel occupancy, which is 100 kilohertz. So we also have some parameters that affect the efficiency of the transmission. So we can vary the code rates and the constellations. And this allows a trade-off between the capacity and the operating point, the ruggedness of the system. So you can either operate with low capacity, very rugged, or higher capacity, less rugged. And that choice is up to the broadcaster. All of those parameters are signaled to the receiver. The receiver knows what's going on. And what that means is that in different circumstances, you might have a very long-range transmission, you might have a very local transmission. You want to be able to operate at different points. In terms of OFDM, it is a fully digital system. It uses OFDM. And we have a choice of what we call robustness modes. And these are designed for different conditions. And we vary the OFDM parameters in order to meet the needs according to different operating points. So we change things like the duration of the symbols, the guard interval, the spacing between the carriers, and the frame lengths of the transmission frame. So we have five robustness modes altogether in DRM, and they are designed for different kind of channels, and you can see here the typical uses of those channels. So robustness modes A, B, C, D, those are the DRM30 modes, and robustness mode E is the DRM plus mode. And again, we can see that with a whole load of different parameters targeted. These are the OFDM parameters I was talking about. And you can see that the numbers vary. I'm not going to go into the details. It's all available in the specification. Now, in terms of audio, DRM provides three audio coders for DRM30 and just a single coder for DRM+. And AAC is the main audio coder. But because working within the AM bands, very narrow channels, the bit rate achievable is not very high. So we also have included the possibilities for speech-only coders, the KELP coder and the HVXC coder. And this allows speech rendition at very, very low bit rates. And this is important in terms of providing a service in higher quality than AM, but for a particular type of programming. If you put music, for example, through the HVXC coder, it's not happy at all because it's a parametric coder. It can only deal with speech. But if you want to be able to deliver a speech channel in a very, very small amount of capacity, it allows you to do that. We use a lot of modern tools for making sure that the audio quality is high, even though the bit rates are low. So we have spectral band replication, we have parametric stereo, and we have MPEG surround. And all of these are tools within the AAC family. And what they allow is for high quality to be achieved at a much lower bit rate than would be traditionally the case with a waveform coder. So we're using the parametric qualities of stereo and of surround and so on to build a high-quality audio signal, but at the bit rates that we can carry using this system. And DRM also allows data services, not just audio, data services. And we can have different kinds of data services, all of the ones that you might imagine were needed, synchronous streams, packetized streams, and delivery of files. And the packet mode has been designed to be very flexible because we want to get the maximum efficiency from the different kinds of channels that we use. So the broadcaster can choose precisely, to a very, very fine degree, how much capacity he wants to use for data. And he can configure the parameters to deliver that data efficiently. And, of course, all of these parameters are signaled to the receiver. So the framework is always the same, but the precise number of bytes in a packet, for example, can be set by the broadcaster, and that allows the data to be packed very efficiently into the space available. And I want to turn to the basic architecture of the actual DRM system, the DRM multiplex. And multiplex, of course, has different meanings in different places. In this context, we're talking about a multiplex because we have three different kinds of channels. We have two signaling channels, the fast access channel and the service description channel, and we have one channel which carries all the program information. So let me try to sort of unwind these different terms. So the fast access channel, that was the red part that was in the same place on all of those different spectrum occupancies, and it permits the channel to be acquired. What do I mean by that? It gives the parameters that tell the receiver how much spectrum is being used. It tells it which constellation is being used for the other two channels, because those can be varied to change the operating point. And it also signals the time interleaving depth, which again is a parameter which determines how the system will operate within the different propagation. It also provides some information to allow a receiver to scan a band to find a particular type of service or a particular kind of a broadcast. So you might be looking specifically for a program. So you know the machine-readable service identifier, you can go and find it. You might want programs in a certain language. You might want certain program types. You might be looking for the jazz station. You could say, give me all the jazz stations, and it will scan through the band. Now, it might take some time, but it can do that. You might be looking for a particular data service. The service, excuse me, the service description channel then allows the services to be acquired. So once you know how the channel is configured, what's the data arrangement, the service description channel tells you how to use all those bits and which bits to allocate to which service in order then to replay the service. So it also contains the user-friendly features, the station label, so that you can access it. You know it's the name of the station. You just select it quite straightforwardly. And it gives you the different parameters. It can give you information about alternate frequencies for the same broadcast. So maybe when you're traveling, you can find it somewhere else. And the service description channel also has a very technical feature, which is to provide automatic frequency switching. So there's a part of the DRM signal which contains no audio information. So the receiver has that period of time to go and look for alternative sources and come back again. It can check them and see what's the quality. Is that a better place to receive the current program? So this is then a picture of what does it look like with a super frame, transmission super frame, transmission frames. See in blue the SDC. This is where the alternate frequency switching can take place. And you see the FAC repeated every transmission frame. And in yellow, the main service channel, what's carrying the programs. In this is for DRM30. We have a transmission superframe of 1,200 milliseconds. In DRM Plus, we actually have four transmission frames, not three, and we have a shorter time period. And that we have that luxury because we have a higher capacity available. So in fact, we can do quicker automatic frequency switching. We can carry more data. So now to the main service channel. Its DRM is configured to have a small multiplex in terms of the service channel. So you can have up to four services of audio data. Typically, at the lower frequencies, you would have one audio service. But at DRM Plus, it's possible that you have enough capacity, you're operating such that you might have several audio services, one, two, three, four. It also, DRM can consist of up to four streams. And I'm going to say a little bit about the services and streams, and I think Bernd is also going to talk a little bit more about that later on. And the multiplex can contain two different protection levels. So you can have different data within the channel protected to a different degree. So you may have, for example, audio with unequal error protection, or you may have different services where you're targeting different coverage areas. So each stream can be configured separately. Now, the services can be either audio data, and an audio service is defined as being having an audio component, obviously, but it may also have a data component with it. But a data service is just a single data component. A stream contains either an audio component or a data component in stream mode, or it contain up to four data components in packet mode. And what that means is you can have a whole range of configurations of different numbers of services and streams, but the maximum is four in both cases. So there's lots of different permutations of how you can configure the services, what you can deliver to your audience. And, of course, because you have these different combinations, you need to be able to introduce services, take them away. You need to be able to have some mechanism for dynamically changing what's in the multiplex and to do that without affecting your primary audio service. So DRM has the mechanisms, the signaling mechanisms, to allow that to happen. So in many cases, you can change what's in the multiplex what's in the channel without affecting the audio. Although, obviously, some changes will affect the audio because you've changed the bandwidth that you're occupying, which is not something you're likely to do on a daily basis, you would then have to perhaps reset something. Okay. So let me summarize. DRM has lots of great strengths. It's a worldwide open standard. I think it's really, really important. And what I try to emphasize is it uses the spectrum in the same way wherever you are in the world. It's not designed specifically for one market or another. It's not specifically designed for Europe. It's designed to be a global standard. And it's designed to allow simple-to-use receivers, so it has lots of user-friendly features. And it's not just good quality audio. It also has the possibility of multimedia, which is something which we see audiences wanting at different speeds in different parts of the world, but something which a modern system has to be able to offer. And importantly, it covers all of the analog radio bands. All the bands traditionally associated with radio are covered by the DRM system. So that's all from me. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. I just wanted to say, if you are still not sure about your services and streams or anything like that, we have put all these presentations on a CD, which you'll be able to take home, because it's a lot of information and people are at various levels of understanding all this. So by all means, take notes, but we'll make them available. I know we are a little bit behind time, but we don't want to have death by PowerPoint here in this room. So I will, before letting Bernd pick up, I will ask if there is a burning question that you want to address to Lindsay. I'm sure you will be able to talk to him during the day, but is there anything in particular you would want to raise at this stage when it is all quite fresh in your mind? Oh, please don't disappoint me. Anyone? I have high expectations. I thought you had a question. All right. Sorry? Yes, that's good, because we have a session at the end of the three or four presentations where we can have a freer discussion. But I see a raised hand.
Yes, Steve Ripley from the UK administration. Just looking at it very simplistically, if I was going to use this in band 2, I know that in band 2 there's a lot of use made of RDS type services for traffic announcements and other bits and pieces. But I also saw in there that there's a wish not to change the sort of methods of audio coding, where RDS is a small sort of add-on to the system as opposed to being a major data stream. And I'm just wondering if it's been thought through as to how you could actually replace RDS using the DRM system.
Okay, so depending on which features of RDS you're talking about, I mean, RDS has many features. It has automatic frequency switching. We provide that facility. It has the ability to signal traffic announcements. We provide that facility, also other types of announcements. It can send text, and we can send text. So pretty much all the features that you would find in RDS, you also find in DRM. Plus, of course, some more, because RDS can't send pictures. It can't carry an EPG, for example. So there's a lot more that can be carried using DRM than the RDS system. But all of those features that RDS provides do continue through, because those are features which have been shown to be useful and effective for audiences around the world.
Please go ahead.
Hi, Lindsay. Mark Hopgood from Frontier Silicon. Is there any coexistence issues at all between DRM and DRM Plus and Band 3 Eureka 147?
I'm not entirely sure what you mean by coexistence.
Interference between the two at all.
Well, they're operating in different bands. I mean, the DAB could operate. It has an ITU recommendation which says it can be used in any frequency band, essentially band 1, band 2, band 3, band 4, band 5, L band. In practice, it's been deployed in band 3 and L band because that's where, by common agreement, the frequencies are available and have been coordinated across different areas. DRM is designed to operate below 174 megahertz, and band 3 starts at 174 megahertz. So in terms of the system design, there is no conflict in terms of the use of spectrum. DRM is kind of, you could consider it to be the low frequency version of DAB. And as I say, with my position as technical chairman in both consortia, that is precisely the way I see it. I see them as completely complementary. And I think you'll hear from the presentation which follows that there is a lot of commonality, a lot of complementarity between DRM and DAB. So I don't see any conflict.
Okay. The next presentation has been mentioned, and I will introduce it by saying that Alex Zink, who is vice chairman of the technical committee, our treasurer, I always mention it because money is important, and vice president of the association, unfortunately has what I heard on the phone as a very, very bad cold. So I don't think you would have wanted to have a presentation with a cough after every single, too much interference for your ears. But Bernd Linz from Fraunhofer and a close associate of Alex is here to make the presentation. Needless to say, Bernd and his colleagues are also at the forefront of introducing DRM Plus and have a demonstration in the hall. So I hope you will join him and his colleagues after this first part of the session. So Bernd, please go ahead.
Thank you, Ruxandra. Good morning. First of all, let me say my apologies for Alex not being here, but hopefully I can give his presentation as good as him. What I want to talk about is less the technical aspects, more the how the DRM system is seen by the user, by the listener. So I'm talking about data applications, about surround sound, and these kind of features. As Lindsay already mentioned, DRM is more than one audio program on one single frequency. DRM can have up to four services on one frequency. What you can see on this picture, it's a screenshot of a software receiver. We have one frequency and up to four services. This, for example, is the campus radio of the University of Erlangen, which is in Germany. As Lindsay also mentioned, the layout of the services can be very flexible. It can be an audio program, it can be audio program together with program-associated data, or it can be pure multimedia or data services. The next point, alternative frequency signaling, Lindsay also mentioned it, is quite important. It's not visible to the user, but speaking of the frequencies below 30 megahertz, it is necessary to retune from time to time. And this is possible with AFS. It's possible seamless, and it's not only possible to retune to another DRM service, it is also possible to tune, for example, even to analog radio stations on FM or so on. Another feature of the DRM system is the warning and alert feature. With this feature, it is possible to give the listeners immediate alerts in case of environmental disasters. And with this feature, the radio can automatically retune to another frequency, to another service. And on this other service, it might be possible to have, for example, instructions for the listener how to behave. The other service isn't necessarily an audio service. It might also be, for example, a text service in different or various languages. As I said, DRM is not only audio. DRM also offers the possibility to have data multimedia services. And there are different types of services or data services. There are DRM standardized services. At the moment, I think there's only one. Most of the data applications in DRM are mapped from the DAB world. And this is quite important because, therefore, as a broadcaster, I only have to create my data service once, and I can use it, for example, in DAB as well as in the DRM world. So this is what Lindsay mentioned, as we're working very close together here. Of course, data services can be visible or invisible to the user. Visible data services, for example, might be slideshows or something like this, but invisible to the user might be, for example, telematic services. Speaking of visible data services, here's a short compilation of what's possible. DRM text messages, this is only small text lines on the display of the radio receiver, for example, information of what song you're listening to, and so on. The electronic program guide, most of you, I think, know it from the TV world. It is also possible to have it on radio, on DRM. And it's with this, you can give information about the show you're listening to at the moment. We can give or search the schedules for upcoming shows and so on. Quite new data application for DRM is the so-called journal line service. I come to this later on. MOT slideshow. Slideshow, I think most of you know the pictures, for example, you can see on the UniWave receivers. This might be album covers, weather maps, and so on. And as I also mentioned, TPEC, TMC, telematic services. It's also possible in DRM. Speaking of journal line is something like teletext for radio. It's a hierarchically categorized text information service. It's a push and store application, so every text element is transmitted in a carousel, and therefore you have the possibility as a user to immediately access interactively the different types of text. Journal line offers you, for example, menus, submenus, and text behind it. Journal line was developed for DRM30, and therefore it fulfills the requirement for very low bit rates. This is quite important because this makes journal line quite easy, quite cheap to use. Another thing why journal line is so cheap and easy to use is that you can reuse existing data sources. For example, you can reuse RSS feeds and broadcast them as a journal line application. Also possible with journal line is the possibility to have extensible information, like, for example, a hot button functionality where you can order something, where you can link to your online pages, where you can have telephone numbers, and so on. A short example of how journal line could look like is this one. And this is a screenshot of an Audi MMI. So this has been inside an Audi A8 car. What we have here is a normal menu. You can scroll through the menu, you can select the items, have submenus, and so on, and of course the possibility to have text behind it. It is even possible to have something like a bookmarks, we call it favorites here. So if you don't want to have to go to through all the submenus to get to a specific point inside the tree, there's the possibility to have a bookmark, and with one click you are on your favorite news site, for example. This is how journal line could look like on a PC based platform. This is a screenshot of a browser. And what I want to show here is the different types of content you can transmit with journal line. You can, for example, have sports results, tables with sport results. You can have stock market information. You can have news, of course, advertisement, whatever you want. Or you can have even program-related related information, for example, station contact information about your station, and so on. So Journal Line is quite a flexible data application, and it's quite easy and cheap to bring it on air. This, by the way, is a photo taken at the Beijing Olympics in 2008. Another quite good thing to have in DRM is the possibility to have surround sound. With a fully digital system like DRM is, this is possible. We all know surround sound, for example, from our home cinema entertainment systems or from DVD, Blu-ray, whatever. And now it is also possible to have it in the radio world. Therefore, we can use it, for example, for pop music, for classical music, but also for radio plays or advertisement. Imagine an advertisement where you open a bottle of champagne and the cork pops in the front and comes down behind you, for example, or a radio place where you can hear the murderer coming up from behind you. It's great to have. And it's quite, I think, an evolutional step. In the past, we had mono. Then came stereo. This is what we have at the moment. And I think in the future, we will see 5.1 surround sound. The technology behind DRM surround is called MPEG surround. It's an open MPEG standard, and it is a quite good standard because it offers you the possibility to always be backwards compatible to mono or stereo. So if you have a DRM surround radio station, every listener out there with a normal mono kitchen radio device, for example, can listen to the exact same station. There's no need for simulcasting a stereo and a surround program. You can only have one surround program on air, and it's always backwards compatible to mono or stereo. What the graphic here is, it wants to show the quality, which was measured in different listening tests. And as you can see, metric surround system, of course, very low bitrate required for surround instead of pure stereo. But the quality is quite low also. Whereas MPEG surround is quite close to transparency, so to discrete 5.1 channels. This is a diagram which shows how this is achieved. On the left side, we have the encoder side, the broadcaster side. On the right side, it's the listener, the receiver, the decoder side. And in the middle, this is the on-air signal. What we are doing is we are transmitting a stereo bit stream, and we have additional spatial information embedded in this stereo bit stream. So on the receiver side, on the right side, you have the possibility to use only the stereo bit stream, then it's only stereo playback or mono, if you have a kitchen radio, for example. Or we can use the stereo bit stream together with the spatial information and blow up the stereo signal to 5.1 again for home theater entertainment systems or so on. And it is even possible, it's not very good to see here, but it is even possible to have something which is called binaural playback. This means to have a surround impression over normal stereo headphones. And this is also where we can see surround in the future. We have it in our living rooms, for example, home cinema entertainment. We have surround equipment inside cars. And we have the possibility to play back 5.1 surround in binaural mode over normal stereo headphones. By the way, I think the in-car market is the market where we will see surround in quite near future, because it's very interesting for car manufacturers to have surround sound, because they already have the speaker set up inside their cars, and it would be great to have the possibility to bring surround content inside the cars, and this is possible with DRM. What we can see here is a complete broadcasting chain. On the left side is the content aggregation, the content encoding, the multiplexing, and on the right side is the modulation and the power amplification. And what we can see on this slide is the important thing we can see on this slide is are the green arrows in between, because the green arrows are standardized protocol. So it is possible to transmit the whole DRM multiplex in this standardized protocol. It's called MDI. And this protocol can be transmitted over serial lines, over IP, whatever you want. And because it is a standardized protocol, it is completely manufacturer independent. So it is possible to connect different devices from different manufacturers on the broadcaster side. This is also what we are showing outside. We have a complete DRM plus radio station out there, and the different parts of the broadcasting chain are connected via MDI. So, and this is what I wanted to point you to. Please come to see the demonstration because it's great to see. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernd, and please say thank you to Alex from us for putting this all together. Don't ask me where the champagne bottle is, but if you have other questions, please use the opportunity of having Bernd there. And please introduce yourselves so we get to know each other. Yes, the gentleman here in the front.
Okay, thank you. Well, Roland Beutler, SWR, public broadcaster in southwestern Germany. I got two questions, actually. I mean, I saw on one of the slides that you were saying, asking a question saying, well, could you imagine a pop station running mono today? And I have to tell you, well, yes, I can. Indeed, it's reality in Germany, and I think it's also reality in UK. And it's deliberate on FM, in order just to increase the range, coverage range. So this is one point, and it's always these kind of statements make me feel a bit uneasy. We've been promoting DAB, DAB for decades in the meantime by saying, well, audio quality is one of the key issues. I'm not sure about that anymore.
Well, I think that, if I may just interject okay. very quickly, I think that generally digital radio has an issue. I mean, analog radio is still very robust and working well. But I think with podcasting, with the experience users get, I think their threshold for low audio quality is going to get higher. But I agree with you. I don't make amends. And this is why I think that digital systems have to prove to be just more than good audio quality. This is what I said right at the beginning, is a whole experience yeah. and a multimedia experience, because people are used to having multimedia, to having the iPhones and everything. So yes, I can imagine a mono station transmitting jazz in the same way in which I can see people using still cart drawn by horses. Not everyone has an Audi, but you know, we are going somewhere, we are not going backwards. I don't know, Bernd, do you want to say anything before we go to point two?
Well, I got a different question, a second one, if I may. Yeah. Maybe it escaped my notice, I don't know, but well, what I'm really interested in is seeing, are there any substantial differences in DRM Plus and DAB Plus when it comes to all the features that could be implemented on that platform? Could someone point out something that is feasible on DAB Plus but not feasible on DRM Plus or vice versa?
Well, Lindsay, you are on both sides of the debate, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, the in terms of the service proposition, if you wanted to create a service, you can create the same service and broadcast it using DAB Plus or using DRM Plus. The question is then comes out, which is the most efficient way for the market that you're serving? Because if you're in a market where there are lots of radio stations all targeting the same coverage area, you might find, and I know this is a DRM workshop, but you might find that using a DAB multiplex is more cost-effective, simpler infrastructure. If you have a lot of radio stations but they're more spread out, they're targeting different areas, you might find that, that DRM Plus is more efficient in terms of costs because you're not trying to put lots of radio stations into the same coverage area. So in terms of what's your service proposition, I think you can make a free choice. And this has been something which some of us who worked in digital radio for a long time want to get away from. You have to choose the technology according to what you want to broadcast. But you should be choosing the technology according to the spectrum that you have available and the cost effectiveness of building the network for the coverage areas that you want to achieve. And I think that's what you can say with DAB and DRM, it's really, at least in my mind, it's one system. okay? But it targets different spectrum. There are constraints in certain areas to do with how much capacity you have available and so on. For example, if you wanted to mix, you know, mobile TV on the same transmission, then you can't use DRM Plus. Currently, we don't have a mobile TV version for DRM Plus. But I mean, if there was a big demand, I'm sure we could design that application as well. But you know, again, what I'm saying is, I think the technology choice should be according to the spectrum and the economics, and not according to the programs that you want to deliver.
Needless to say, we will have most of the afternoon we will devote to DRM Plus. So I think some of the issues will become a bit clearer. I think this is a DRM workshop. We think the DRM Plus has at least all the features of DAB, but this is not a competition. Shall I choose this or that? Does this have more features than this one? It is a bit like what Lindsay says. It depends where you are and what you want to achieve for that market. Okay. The gentleman at the back.
I'm Dietmar Kopitz from the RDS Forum. So I just want to get an idea about
what is the RDS Forum? Sorry.
RDS Forum.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
No, not very much of interest to you, but maybe if you are looking to a transition, then of course, let's say, FM and DRM will coexist in the same band, and cross signaling will be necessary, of course. Now, I think we'll have to cooperate. But this is another issue. My question really is about something else. It's about what is really the limit of the capacity of the system? If we talk about four services, is it four high-quality radio FM services with appropriate data services like TPEG for traffic information, all in one FM channel? Or is it not possible to do that?
Okay, I'll answer that. Depending on the mode that you choose, the operating point you choose, DRM Plus offers between 35 kilobits per second and 185 kilobits per second. So is the question, can you put four high-quality stereo services in 185 kilobits? It's probably a bit tight. You can probably put three using AAC with its tool set. Parametric stereo, maybe you don't want to use parametric, you want to use full stereo and so on. So the answer might be two or three services. If you want to mix a little bit of this and a little bit of that together, you could have four audio services, but it depends exactly what you're looking for. Is there room for TPEG? Yes, because TPEG is not a high data rate application. A few kilobits per second gives you quite a lot of TPEG information. So in terms of spectrum efficiency, you gain. The other point is that during when you're fully digital, you can use the spectrum more efficiently again, because the occupancy is 100 kilohertz, not 200. Which you have with FM. So, but that's obviously a difficult period at the transition, because you have existing services, and generally it's quite hard to find, in a lot of European markets, it's quite hard to find FM spectrum that's free in the markets that you would like to go into. There might be FM spectrum free in the country, but it's not maybe exactly where you want it in the big cities.
Okay, we'll continue with the questions. These are more general questions now, so I think we should, we've taken a little breath and a few questions, and now it's for me to offer yet another apology. We thought, when working so close with Walid and his team, that it would be interesting for you, mostly from Europe and maybe areas close to Europe, to invite somebody from India, a country that has decided to go for DRM. And we hope to have the chief engineer of All India Radio, the state broadcaster of India, with us. But I understand there is an important parliamentary session, and they have been required to be there. And so we scrambled very hard, and we said, what can we do? So you don't miss on the opportunity of hearing a testimony from another continent and from people who have really looked very seriously, not at the, just at the system, but at the implementation of the system. And we've come with a solution that I hope you will consider very, very good. We've asked Vinita Dvivedi, who is the project director of the DRM consortium, to give us the gist of the presentation that was given not very long ago by the chief engineer. So it's basically what I hope the chief engineer would have told you. Unfortunately, we can't take very, very many questions because a lot of the stuff they are doing, we can only surmise. We don't know for sure. So I'll ask Vinita to go to this more concrete case this time. We've talked about the system and structure and architecture and services and so on. But now let's look at a country which is outside Europe. Vinita.
Thanks.
You have to press on something, I think.
Okay. It's on now. Okay. Hello, I'm Vinita. I am not Mr. Sinha or Mr. Agarwal, as you can see. But I did have an email from Mr. Sinha yesterday saying that I can go ahead and talk about their plans. And they very much wanted to be here, All India Radio, because they have seriously considered DRM, and they are very well-versed with the system also. So I'm not technical, so there may be a few technical things here which I will not be able to explain, and I have actually left out most of the technical part. We can provide you more information if you need to. I will talk about more where you can find the information as I go through. Just a little bit of information about All India Radio, for those who may have not been to India or are not aware. It is the national service, radio service, which is operated by Prasar Bharati Broadcasting Corporation of India, which is under the Government of India. It has a network of 232 broadcasting centers, and you can see a lot of transmitter, a big, very big transmitter network. They cover about 92% of the total area of the country, serving almost the entire population, and it is the largest democracy in the world, and very poor and very far-flung rural in many, many areas. Therefore, it has 24 languages and 146 dialects that it does programming in, and it also covers external services, that is, it sends its broadcasts abroad in 27 foreign languages, 17 national, 10 foreign languages and 17 national languages, which go abroad. This is their plan for digitizing their network, and this has been undertaken by the Planning Commission of India. They had a special project called Going Digital, which was headed by a senior official of the Planning Commission, and they laid down a migration path, which they shared with us in the middle of this year, in May and June, which means that they have the first step in next year in Delhi, 2010. Which is also the year when Delhi is going to host the first time the Commonwealth Games in the country. And we've met the Information and Broadcasting Minister, who's in charge of broadcasting altogether recently. Ruxandra had a conversation with her, and we think DRM can have a start exactly at that date. That can be a big sort of a digital, entering the digital era during the Commonwealth, which is in October 2010. Then, as you can see, all mega cities by 2011, then 2012, and all other areas 2013. They hope to have a nationwide switch off of analog broadcast in 2015. Yeah, it sounds ambitious, but they want to have a switch off at some point, not in the very distant future. These are the reasons that they've given us why they decided in favor of DRM. They also compared with other existing digital radio technologies, because the first reason is what we've already talked about. It's universal, openly standardized, endorsed by ITU, ETSI, and offers very good audio quality and can carry more content, text, and data. They also think that it is compatible with existing AM bands, and DRM therefore operates within the existing spectrum allocations in that country. It provides an easy path of migration from analog to digital. For a lot of DRM-compatible medium wave and short wave transmitters in the EIR network. So this is something that they were very pleased with, that it maximizes the reuse of existing transmitters as well. So the first trials were carried out with the help of ABU. It was called the DRM AIR ABU Showcase in Delhi in May 2007. They did a simulcast. The principal objective was to demonstrate and evaluate single-channel simulcast, which enables simultaneous transmission of analog and DRM digital medium wave signals using only one transmitter. It also assessed local digital transmissions in the 26 megahertz band. Now, details of these trials and their results are all available. They are also available on the ITU website. And we have a lot of paperwork which has been sent to us by Sharad Sadhu, who will be here later on. So if you are interested in the total technical details, we can always provide it via email or something. Both these tests, they are all available. Two transmitters in Delhi were used for these tests. A general summary of the result was that the AM and DRM coverage using the simulcast mode was confirmed to be equivalent following a radial route from the transmitter. A 100-kilometer coverage radius was achieved using a transmitted AM power of 96.17 kilowatt and 3.82 kilowatt of DRM signal. In the urban area, they properly covered more than 90% of the wherever it was tested and where it was received, and they did not find any significant interference with the AM signal using the receivers which are used in the Indian market. So since the trials went as planned and went very well, they decided to start a DRM service from a 250 kilowatt shortwave transmitter in Delhi. It's just outside of Delhi, and it does analog and digital simulcast. The first DRM service officially was launched in January this year. They had been testing it, I mean, it was on air for about 6 months beforehand. And now, today, it still works, and it has 5 hours of transmissions for Europe and the UK. So that's their external services. And 3 hours of local transmission within India on the NVIS mode. And this is the around Delhi in a radius of 800 kilometers on the NVIS mode. And I have personally heard this transmission. It's very good. Now, this is the interesting part. Obviously, this is where All India Radio wants us to focus in today's meeting here. They have asked us to actually tell you what their plan is. And the plan is that they want to, and this is the modified plan as it stands today, they replaced 34 medium-wave DRM transmitters. It's a revised one, Jochen. Huh? 36 existing transmitters they want to convert to DRM operation. 5 new shortwave transmitters shall be installed. We're hoping this will happen next year, soon, before Commonwealth. And installation of 2 megawatt medium-wave transmitters. So here is what it looks like on the map. And so basically, this should cover the 70% of the country in medium wave. With this, it all goes through like this. And these are the 2 megawatt transmitters from the 2 sides, the east and the west, and covering a large part of the continent outside of India in medium wave. It's a short presentation because, as I said, there is not much technical information here. The challenges that All India Radio faces is they want to ensure that there will be good reception in urban areas where there are tall buildings and maybe man-made noises. They're very happy with the open areas and outside powerful and rural areas. The cost of conversion of these transmitters is high, but they have evaluated it. It's all on paper. We have seen the amount that they are thinking it will cost, and they have put these calculations in the Planning Commission's document, which gets approved, and then they can put the tender out. Receivers is their big concern, and they know the receivers are in the market. The concern is not just the receivers, it is the cost of the receivers, because it is still a poor country. And they think for the vast population of India to take it up, they need the receivers to be cheap, inexpensive, and also they should not consume too much power. so there is a longer battery life in the receiver. So the message that they have sent to us to say to everyone here is that the most important issue is to make available DRM receivers at affordable cost to the vast masses of India. It is expected that receiver manufacturers in India and abroad shall address this issue as DRM is progressively implemented in the next 5 years. That's it.
Thank you very much, Vinita. I hope you found this interesting. It's totally outside Europe, but it mentions the keywords, and finally we've got the keyword, which is receivers, and also it shows how huge the task is, really, of getting from analog to digital, and the kind of commitment and investment that needs to be done. But as Vinita said, we met the minister about 2 weeks ago in New Delhi, and while a lot of issues were raised, the message was, we have committed to DRM, we will implement DRM. I mean, they are aware of all the difficulties, but the choice is made for a country of the size of India. They are looking at all the possibilities, they evaluate it, and this is the best solution. We are very sorry Mr. Sinha is not with us. I hope you found the presentation, though, quite fascinating and interesting. And if there are simple questions, maybe we can take them. If they are too complicated, we'll address them to Mr. Sinha, and
yeah,
we'll come back with a professional answer to you.
Yes, hi, Broadcast Service Denmark. You mentioned the replacement market for transmitters, which is not very big in India, but then you have the replacement market for AM receivers, which is huge, and which could help drive costs down, also receiver chipsets for the rest of us, which actually could kick off the whole DRM community worldwide.
Yeah.
How many receivers are we talking about? It must be millions.
Oh, there are millions.
Many millions.
I mean, you're talking about 100% coverage of radio in the country, and it's a population of a billion. We can safely say there are about, you know, a quarter of that population has radio sets.
I've seen the starting number, but you can play with numbers, because at the moment you don't have DRM in India of about 100 million, you know. The middle class in India is evaluated at about 300 million. And the rest about 700.
So. This is interesting also, it's a high volume for a semiconductor.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we wanted to show you India because we, in the consortium, everyone hopes that if there is a real uptake of a standard in a huge country like India, of course that will encourage everyone else. But we are also realistic. It is on paper. It has to be in reality as well. It's at the moment, it's possibilities, not yet reality. Sorry. Yes, RDS. I know now.
Yes, but not about RDS. It's about India. I mean, I do not meet so often people from India. So I'm very happy.
Hi, nice meeting you.
Yes. And I have a big respect for this country because they have super engineers and super,
yes,
super software writers. I mean, I just want to know, how long do you think will it last until you make your own receivers? Because, I mean, for the moment, our receivers are all made in China.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could well imagine they could be made in India with such a huge market at home. What do you think? How many years?
Yes, agree. We agree. And this is part of the conversation going on in India, that local manufacturers should take interest. And they are taking interest. It's not as if they are not. We did a meeting of the local manufacturers with All India Radio. That's when they actually gave us this proper roadmap on how many years it will take and how much coverage, etc. And we invited about 7 or 8 operators onto the manufacturers on the table to have a discussion with All India Radio. So they are sitting there. And as we all know, the technology for the DRM receivers doesn't need to be invented. It's already there. There are lots of chipset manufacturing manufacturers who are also based in India or are getting their software done in India, as we know, whether they are European or American. So it can very easily be produced in India. The problem is that the rollout has to start, and I don't think that the receivers will take more than 6 months to be on shelves as soon as the transmissions start in a big way. I mean, only one in All India Radio transmission will not really make somebody buy the receiver. It has to be a critical mass of broadcast, don't you think? I mean, what's the point of buying a receiver if you can't have enough services on it? There have to be more services. I'm saying broadcasters need to really think together now. Yes, please.
I just have a comment. 2 or 3 years ago at the IFA in Berlin, there was actually an engine developed a radio based on the analog devices, Sharp processor. So it's already been done.
It is. Yeah, and I will talk about the processor later on. I have another presentation in the afternoon, so I'll talk about that. Yes.
Let's hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
So, Mark Hopgood, Frontier Silicon. I noticed that this presentation isn't on the CD. I wonder if you could just revert back to the rollout plan slide, because it went very quickly. I'd just like to...
Yeah, sorry, because we were hoping they will come, and it was only at the last minute it was decided.
It's nothing secret. We'll make it available.
Go back to the roadmap.
It was the rollout to 2015.
That
was the one. Mm-hmm. Can I just take a quick note?
We can send you the presentation, Mark, if you leave your email ID with
that
me.
Would be
I'll
great.
Send it to you, no problem.
Thank you. Yeah. And my question was, are there other broadcasters that are also planning to follow in the wake?
In India?
Yes.
Well, in India, the AM is and shortwave and medium wave is all only owned by All India Radio. There is no other broadcaster. They haven't opened it to the private broadcasters. That is why they have so many, you know, languages and services. It's completely a monopoly of All India Radio in that market. Unfortunately so, but it is true. It's only in FM that they have allowed private broadcasters to operate. It's totally All India Radio.
Okay,
we do hear BBC, for instance, very popular. BBC World Service has an audience of 21 million in total in India, World Service alone. So it's a huge market for World Service, on which of the 19 million is only Hindi listening. And the rest is English and other languages. So, and they listen to a lot of other broadcasts. So Voice of Russia, I think, can be heard in India, and Deutsche Welle can be heard in DRM in India now. So.
Thank you.
Yes, I am Pablo Phillips from Radio Cooperativa in Santiago, Chile. Oh. And Vinita, I understand from your presentation that I have a very specific question, really.
Yes.
I understand that the analog and digital coverage was very similar or equal.
Yes.
But my question is, which percentage of the power is used for the radiation of the digital signal?
The power, I think it's over here, but I can send you the whole test result. It is. I have it on my email. I can.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone who was during the trials and could give a more?
Well, Sharad would be able to answer.
Slide.
One of the slides is actually set in numbers of kilowatts. Slide is 6.17 and 3.82.
Yeah.
So there you have 4%.
Yeah. Okay. But we will send you the whole test results if you want. And Sharad will explain the whole thing because he was there when and ABU helped them do this test, the trials.
Yeah. I'll take
two more questions. I know that this is concrete. This is a country. But I don't want this to turn into a total discussion of India, if I may. Okay.
Okay, I'll try and be brief. Thank you. It's Murray Delahoy from the Australian Communications Regulator. I'd like to say that I appreciated your presentation, and you did very well given the circumstances, and it's nice to hear a Region 3 view of the world. I had a very basic question. What's the rationale for switching off analog broadcasting? Is that something that got a lot of thought at the time?
We specifically asked them these questions because of the manufacturers. I think it is the thing that there will be a bigger market if we know that eventually analog will stop, so everybody has to buy a new receiver. That can be one reason. I mean, I don't know exactly, but I think that is one reason. Another reason could be that a lot of other countries also, like there is a switch-off date in the UK, as we know. There are in other European countries also. So we cannot always be simulcasting in AM and digital, in analog and digital. So at some point you have to go all digital, and that's true for, and Lindsay would answer that.
Yeah, one of the discussions that I have with All India Radio, I've been talking to them for quite a long time, is that they have low audibility in medium wave in the minority language services. So they are particularly interested in being able to provide the minority languages in good quality, understandable quality, because there's a lot of kind of, if you like, self-interference between different transmissions that they find in the AM, and the tests that they've done show that they won't have that problem with DRM. So as well as the wanting the switch off, the actual idea of moving from medium wave to DRM is to improve audibility for those services, because they have lots of different languages that are spoken, and it's part of a kind of social coherence. I mean, you know, you need to make sure everybody is aware of what's going on and the communications work. So that's one of the prime drivers for them to go to DRM.
And this brings us back to why DRM? I mean, if it's not about, it is about choice. It is about offering more services to more people in their own language. I think you saw the minority languages that, as Lindsay says, some of them cannot be heard in the communities that speak those languages. DRM can do it. I have to go to the lady who thought I was harsh and was asking questions now.
Thank you. My name is Amela. I come from Swedish administration, and I have a very simple question. Who made decision? Thank you.
Decision for what? Sorry?
For going digital.
It's the government of India.
Government.
Yeah.
Without a broadcaster, without administration, only government.
No, it is the plan is put forward by the broadcaster, the engineers,
okay.
The engineering arm of the broadcaster. But the final approval for the money will come from the government.
Okay. Thank you.
Because it is run by the government. It's not an independent broadcast.
Okay.
They are not hiding it. I mean, All India Radio is, for all intents and purposes, controlled by the government. It's in the plan. The government gives the money. I mean, it's no... It's a bit different from what we know about administrations and democracies in Europe. So it's a different model. Sorry, Rachel from Russia.
As a matter of fact, I have two questions, but one of them is very similar to previous one. If we are speaking about switching off analog, yesterday on the previous conference, we spoke a lot about switching off analog in different countries, but there was about DAB, and we know that the market of DAB receivers are full with different models, with different prices, from very low to high prices. And even there, they speak about switching off analog till 2015. Now, you speak about switching off digital analog in India till 2015, but we don't know how the receiver market will develop, and such a great market of audience will have, all of them will have digital receivers. If you'll switch off, the people won't have, those who won't have digital receivers won't have services. How do you think that the market will be full?
Honestly, I think it will not be in 2015.
And one more question, maybe you can't answer it because it's a technical question. Why they're planning two powerful transmitters, megawatt transmitters, because for middle wave, if you're covering country, you have a lot of low power middle wave transmitters for inside country. For going outside country, maybe it's better to have short wave transmitters, not middle wave, because then the countries with the same technology must be also have the same technology of receiving DRM in the countries where you transmit.
Yes. Matthias, would you like to answer that? Or Jochen, maybe, why a megawatt medium wave transmitter should be chosen or has been chosen over shortwave?
Okay, anyway, the medium wave has a different coverage, but Rachel, you know all this. You are a professional. I don't understand your question.
The medium wave has
another coverage as the short wave, and for the it's quite a local broadcast. Yeah, it's a large area, but it's a local coverage, and this is done by medium wave, and there is no hop, and the daily coverage is better than in shortwave, probably. So this is, I guess, the reason for them. 1 megawatt is always good for us, you know? We love those projects.
Okay.
I mean, we are going a bit into...
I thought you should answer that.
I think we are going a bit into the area of a little bit of second-guessing and speculating. Why the government and why the engineers in India have chosen this particular thing, why the government has put a deadline of 2015, that is really something that is, you know, up to them. This is what they have announced. Consortium is very, very supportive. We are glad. We wish them luck. We hope 2015 will be the date. And I think that we are almost ready for a little break. So I'll thank Vinita. And before we all go to enjoy some demonstrations and talk to each other a bit further, I will ask Wally to make some announcements. Thank you very much, Vinita.
Yes, well, thank you, Ruxandra. It's not an announcement, but it's a suggestion. I assume that the coffee break has started now, and one of the main objectives of this is to gather people. I distributed to all of you the list of participants, and I'd like to just give you some statistics. Between the participants, we have 14 frequency administrations presented here from 9 countries. We have 22 representatives of broadcasters from 15 countries. Maybe more, because I counted in them also the local broadcasters. We have also a representative from Chile, welcome, and from Kuwait.
And Australia.
And Australia. So they came from far, and this is really an honor for us to welcome you here. We have 3 representatives of manufacturers or research and development organizations related to, let's say, manufacturing activities. We have 1 network operator, we have 2 consultants, and we have internal engineers from EBU and staff from DRM. So you have really the large spectrum, let's say, of all the stakeholders. And what I would suggest, but it's You can, if you find it a bit unreasonable, you can do something else. With this, if we go through the participants and each one press the button, the camera will head to him or to her, and everyone would see the face. So you can put faces on the names that you have, and you can identify those who would be interesting to talk with for you, for your needs, for your thoughts. And here we can spend probably 5 or 10 minutes about this, which could also be part of the coffee break, if you like. Would this be acceptable? No objections?
So that's the equivalent of the catalogue calling at school, yes? All right, so... Amel Janani.
Yes, I'm Amel Janani from Algeria. I work as an engineer of study, and especially for media for transmit medium wave, long wave, and short wave transmitter.
Okay. Murray?
Thank you. Murray Delahoy. I work for the Australian Communications and Media Authority. We're concerned with issues of future use of the radio spectrum, particularly for broadcasting services. Thank you.
Thomas?
Hello, Mr. Janicek from Vienna. I'm from the Austrian regulator and I'm a frequency planner.
Benoit?
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruno Vitri, and I work for the TBF, the Belgium public broadcaster, and I'm in charge of frequency management.
Okay. Ludo, our good colleague from the consortium.
Hello, Ludo Maas from TDP in Belgium. We are a technical service provider and broadcaster in DRM.
Alexander.
Hello. I'm from Bulgaria National Radio.
I'm chief of IT department.
Pablo?
Hello, I am the engineering manager of Radio Cooperativa in Santiago, Chile.
Juliana?
Hello, I'm from Croatian regulator. I'm working in broadcasting planning department. Croatia.
And Sretko?
Hello, broadcasting special expert, Croatian regulatory agency.
Okay. Cenek?
My name is Cenek Pavelka. I'm from the Czech Republic. And my business is frequency management.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning. I'm Jiří Ostrova from the same company as Cenek. And we are doing technical support for our administration from Czech Telecom. For Czech Telecommunication Office.
Niels?
Niels Dreyer, Broadcasting Service Denmark. We are a broadcasting services provider, and I'm responsible for the Danish DAB network, but we've also been doing long wave transmission tests with DRM, and I'm very excited about DRM.
Is Grete?
I'm Pascal Olivier from DigiGear, and we are
Emmanuel. Okay, not here. Michael.
Hello, I'm Michel Fein, and I'm developer of a Spark modulator.
Bernd, you met earlier, he made a presentation.
Hi, I just wanted to use the opportunity to invite you to see the whole DRM Plus transmitting chain which we have outside in the coffee break. Thanks.
Okay. All right, and Jens and Albert will say the same, yes?
Hello, I'm Jens Schröder from RF Mondial. We are a manufacturer of receiving and transmitting equipment.
Albert?
Hello, my name is Albert Wahl. I'm from RF Mondial to Germany.
And Jochen, we heard earlier.
Yeah, I'm Jochen Huber. I'm the CEO of Transradio, a manufacturer of 1 megawatt transmitters. But we have smaller stuff as well.
Okay, Neil?
Hello, I'm Neil O'Brien. I'm from the Broadcasting Association of Ireland, where they broadcast regulators for Ireland. I look after the engineering area there.
Claudio?
Hello, I'm Claudio Re, Italy. I'm a network director of World Family of Radio Maria and consortium member.
Okay, my name is Giorgio Fatale. I work for RAI, the public radio television services, and my job is in the technological strategy department.
Jaza, I hope I'm pronouncing correctly. Yes. Sharad will come later. Jan?
Yeah, that's me. I'm Jan Doeven. I'm a consultant.
Gerrit? Gerrit?
My name is Gerrit Jan Luijten. I'm from the company Godline in the Netherlands, and I'm a product manager, and Godline is a manufacturer of the FM equipment.
Yes, good morning. I'm Rokas de Jode, Policy Advisor, Distribution Department of Radio Netherlands Worldwide. Yeah, I have it pressed. My company was quite involved in test transmissions in DRM a couple of years ago. However, we stopped our test transmission at the beginning of this year, mainly because of the lack of good and cheap receivers. However, we're very anxious to see the DRM Plus developments and standardization. Thank you.
Petter?
Yes, this is Petter Hox from Oslo, Norway. Yes. I'm a broadcaster, NRK, and I'm head of the radio distribution there.
Thank you very much. My name is Alio van Dijken. I'm working for the Radio Communication Agency in the Netherlands. Since a year, we have a new department called Innovation, which is not quite common among regulators. And I'm working for that department as a senior advisor on spectrum affairs. Thank you.
Pavel?
Yeah, I am Pavel Matia from Polish Radio, the public broadcaster. I am an engineer and board advisor.
Okay, can the other Polish colleagues present themselves and introduce themselves?
Yeah, go ahead.
Romuald? No, Barbara?
No, easy one.
I am from Polish Radio too.
Today. I'm trying to speed this up or coffee will get cold. Marek?
Hello, I'm also from Polish Radio. I'm responsible for quality broadcast of our programs.
And Bogdan?
Hello, I work for Romanian regulator. I'm responsible to spectrum management and numbering.
And Liliana?
Hello, my name is Liliana Andrei, and I'm head of unit of broadcasting unit in National Communication Authority Romania.
And Costica?
Not here.
Not here. Mihai?
Hello, I'm here.
Right.
Mihai Dumitru from Radio Romania. I'm head of technical development division.
Thank you very much. And Rachel? If you press, we'll see you.
Okay. I am from International Broadcast State Company, Voice of Russia, and we're involved in DRM.
Thank you. And Alexander Kalin?
I am here.
Okay.
My name is Alexander Kalin. I am from Russian TV and Radio Broadcasting Network. Our specialty is terrestrial transmission of all kind of TV and radio.
Thank you. Javier? Not here.
Oh. Yes, good morning. I am Javier Sanchez, and I am the responsible of technical planning of Radio Nacional de España, the Spanish national public broadcaster.
Thank you. Pablo?
He's not here.
Not yet. Amela Hatipovic? No.
Here I am.
No. Okay.
Swedish administration. I am working with broadcast planning. Thank you.
Thank you. Elena Buigrafa. Good.
From the EB Technical.
Okay, and Matthias as well from the technical.
Yes, Matthias Coinchon, also from EBU Technical Department, in charge of digital radio question, and I'm also vice chair of World DMB Technical Committee, and following IMDA and Radio DNS, trying to harmonize the developments of digital radio between DRM, DAB, and internet.
Thank you, Matthias, and I think Michael was here but has left. Mike Meyer, also from EBU.
Hello. Yes, I'm the editor of EBU Technical Review.
Thank you. And Peter McAvoy was here and left. Roger Miles and Walid, we know. René Channon.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I'm working for the Swiss regulator, and I'm in charge of international frequency planning. Thank you.
And I think Conrad is from the same regulator. Yes, Conrad?
Yes, good morning. I'm also from Ofcom, responsible for frequency assignment, actually in charge in opening the field of the FM band for digital broadcast.
Uh-huh. And Philippe?
Yes, also from Switzerland, I'm head of frequency planning.
And Dietmar?
Yes, I'm from the RDS forum, and my specialty is writing specifications.
Okay. I thought was asking questions.
I'm an old EBU man, but retired from EBU, okay. But still very active. I'm not on retirement, that's not my...
All right, thank you. Matthias Stoll?
Hello, I'm Matthias Stoll from Thomson Broadcaster Multimedia, a responsible manufacturer for antenna, shortwave, medium-wave business.
Thank you. Fanny from our office?
Hello, I'm Fanny Podvorny. I work for the DRM Consortium.
Lindsay, you met a bit earlier, and you met Vinita, and you met me, Andrew Flynn.
I'm Andrew Flynn from Christian Vision. I'm the Director of International Broadcasting. Among other things, we run DRM transmissions from Chile and from Australia.
And Mark Hopgood.
So I'm the Marketing Director at Frontier Silicon. I'm also the Chairman of the Marketing Committee at World DMB.
Thank you. Steve Ripley.
I'm Steve Ripley from Ofcom in the UK this time, and I'm in charge of international broadcasting coordination for Ofcom UK.
Kinwak Kwan.
Good morning. It's Kinwak Kwan from Smart Design UK. I'm working on tuner for consumer radio.
Thank you. And Jeff?
Yes. I'm Jeff Spells. I work as a consultant for VT Communications, part of the VT group of companies who are service providers to a number of broadcasters, but the main one being BBC World Service.
And last but not least, Michael Haight.
Yes. Mike Haight, these days a consultant to the BBC, although I did work for the BBC for a very long time. I also happen to be the chair of the DIP group in the EBU, which is looking at issues surrounding implementation of DRM.
Now we are a happy family. If there is anyone who hasn't been introduced and feels totally left out, not by design. Apologies, I'm sure you'll introduce yourselves. And I think it's really time to have a cup of coffee and now mix. Thank you very much. And we are supposed to be back at...
Let's be back at quarter to 12.
Okay, so a quarter to 12, 20 minutes to have coffee and also look at the demonstrations. Thank you very much.
We will ring the bell.